The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Alexis Petridis, and this is Music Weekly. Our final programme of 2011 is a look forward to 2012. We've invited in people from The Guardian's music team, our experts who guide us through different genres of music each week on the programme, and some other friends of the pod, and they've made a few choices about what they're looking forward to in 2012. So before we begin, here's my choice. I am looking forward to the return of Plan B. I don't quite know whether his album's coming out next year or not, but he's certainly got a film coming out. And normally, you know, pop star makes film, you know, you're basically going to be trampled to death in the crush to get out of the multiplex. But I think, A, he's proven himself to be a really good actor. He's a fascinating writer, fascinating guy. I will be really intrigued to see what he does, what he comes up with. I would also be really intrigued to hear, if his album The Ballad of Belmarsh does in fact come out next year, which is meant to be returned to the sort of hip-hop style of his debut album. I'd be really intrigued to see how, if he pulls that off, what the public reaction, you know, because they've bought into a very different kind of Plan B than was on his debut album. He's just a figure I find endlessly fascinating and endlessly intriguing. I always stay too long.
I'm Michael Hann, the editor of The Guardian's Film and Music Supplement, and what I'm looking forward to most in 2012 isn't a young band at all. It's in fact the return of someone very old indeed, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, who come back to these shores in the summer for some big festival shows. Sprung from cages on highway nine. Now, I was a Springsteen disbeliever for a very, very long time. And in fact, the first time I saw the E Street Band when they were touring The Rising a decade or so ago, I couldn't understand what the fuss was about. But I think I was coming to them at the wrong time, both in their life and in my life. Because in the last few years, there's been a remarkable revival in the E Street Band's performances. But what's going to be fascinating next summer is how they will thrive without Clarence Clemons, who sadly passed away in 2011. I've heard one suggestion that what Springsteen should do is recruit not just a saxophonist, but a whole horn section on the grounds that it would take more than one man to replace the big man in the horns. But whatever happens, I think we're going to be in for something fascinating, astonishing, and I suspect very, very moving this summer when the E Street Band return to Britain.
I'm Casper Llewellyn-Smith, I'm the music editor of The Guardian and The Observer, and the thing I'm most looking forward to next year is the new record from the group The Very Best. Very Best are the duo Johan and Etienne, who are a production duo who made a record called The Very Best, The Warm Heart of Africa, a couple of years ago now. And I know they've been making a new record and included collaborations with people like the Congolese or the Belgian Congolese rapper Balogi, which appeared on SoundCloud a couple of months ago. And I pinged the guys an email saying I was very excited. They told me a new album's coming. And it sort of sums up a big trend for me. I mean, it's that coming together of Western and African music. The other thing I'm really excited about next year is a big Africa Express tour. Damon Albarn and his mates, who are aiming to take a train around the UK in September, with a big travelling gang of musicians dropping in and small towns along the way, and showing off what they've got to offer.
Hello, my name is Ruth Barnes. I run the Other Woman music blog and I present a radio show on amazing radio called The Other Woman. And I am most looking forward to, in 2012, the return live of Tune Yards. Get up, stand up, get up, stand up, get on it. She's someone who, in my view, has very much been the kind of queen of the DIY dub, Afrobeat, looping, sampling kind of trend. But she's just taken it to the next level. And she also has an incredible voice on her. Her album, Who Kill, came out this year on 4AD, which is a great home for her. And if you've heard the record, you'll know that she's also got a fantastic blue-eyed soul voice on her as well. And she kills some of those fantastic slow love songs on the record as well as yelling a lot. So she performed some fantastic shows, just one or two throughout the UK this last year. She's also played with Yoko Ono in Iceland, as you do. She's performed with The Roots this year on a TV show in the States, so it's been a huge year for her. I'm thrilled to see that she's coming back our way in February. She'll be doing a full European tour, and she's been very sensitive to the North-South divide here in the UK. She's playing Leeds on the 13th of Feb, and she'll be in London on the 15th, so there's something for everyone there. And I'll be trying to get into what no doubt will be one of the most oversubscribed gigs of the year at Shepherd's Bush Empire. So that's my tip.
Hi, this is Gabriel from The Heatwave. We're a crew of DJs and MCs. We play at dancehall and bashment parties all around the world and do a weekly radio show on Rinse FM. It's kind of hard to say what's going to happen in dancehall for 2012. The genre is that unpredictable, which is one of the most exciting things about it, one of the reasons I love it. 2012 will be all about building on the success of 2011. The scene is stronger here than it's been since the days of Top Cat, General Levy, Glamour Kid, and all of those kind of artists. So people like Stylo G and Gappy Ranks are going to be doing big things internationally this year. And then you've got a whole heap of other artists coming through as well, like Liana, Lady Shan, Sarah C. Like my friend Marvin Sparks says, you can say pretty much for certain some things will happen, like there will be a new artist that comes out with a big new hit, there will be a new sound, a new style, the music moves that quickly, and a couple artists will definitely war with each other, not in like a bad way, it's kind of friendly, they'll keep it entertaining, but yeah, every year there's always some kind of beef going on. One thing that I can say will definitely happen in 2012 and will be a big thing is that the Heatwave are launching a brand new record label. Got our first release coming in February 2012, so watch out for that. I think that'll be a bit of a game changer.
Hello, I'm Dom Lawson, heavy metal warrior and writer for Metal Hammer magazine. In 2012, the thing that I'm most looking forward to is the undoubtedly triumphant return of the original lineup of Black Sabbath. A regional journalist spilled the beans about the reformation of the original lineup of Black Sabbath earlier in 2011, After divulging comments that Tony Iommi had made to him in a private conversation. Iommi wasn't at all happy about this, but he never issued a denial, so it was obviously the case that it was always going to happen. And just as everybody expected, it has since been announced that the original lineup of Black Sabbath, which is of course Tony Iommi, Ozzy Osbourne, Geezer Butler and Bill Ward, are to headline at the Download Festival at Castle Donington in June 2012. And it's also been confirmed that they're going to make a brand new studio album, which will be the first one that lineup has made together since Never Say Die, which came out in 1978. And so it's... it's a thrilling thing for any heavy metal fan, because they are the band that invented the genre in the first place. Their importance and influence on the entire genre and every band that has followed since is enormous. And there's every reason to expect that it will be a great record. Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler, of course, recently their last record they made was the album they made under the name Heaven and Hell with the late great Ronnie James Dio. Which was widely acclaimed by anyone sensible in the metal world. And Ozzy Osbourne's last album, Scream, was certainly the best thing that he'd put out for a long time. And so not only will the shows be utterly celebratory, and quite possibly the last chance we'll get to see this amazing band in action, but also the album promises to be a treat too. Tony Iommi is the king of the riffs, and I know he won't let us down. And Ozzy's Ozzy, so you can't really go wrong. There are plenty of exciting new bands and kind of new fresh things happening in metal, but really when it comes down to it, it all comes back to Black Sabbath, and it really doesn't get much more exciting than that.
Hi, I'm Kim Taylor Bennett. I'm a music writer at Time Out Magazine and a friend of the pod. And I am super duper excited for the release of Nazca Line's debut album on Low Recordings in January. I had been feeling so well, so I left the office to be home a little early. Traffic routes are closed, there's little fuel in your vehicle. Nothing but candlelight, you are hearing, walking over channels, holding your arm out. So that was Okinawa Channels by Nazca Lines, which is essentially Michael Lovett. It's a one-man band. Everything on the album is analog synths, just like totally. No guitars, one bass once. And I love that song just because it's just beautiful. And there's those amazing strings at the end, and it's got incredible harmonies, and it's about, it's got a weird sci-fi story. I love stuff like that. So it's the complete package for me. He's definitely one to watch. Cause you're back pretty early. I tried to call the standard L
190.9.4. Hi, I'm Paul Lester, writer of the New Band of the Day for The Guardian Online, and one of the things I'm looking forward to in 2012 is the New Band of the Day night, a series of nights at the Barfly in Camden.
When I got introduced to ya, I knew I'd be true to ya. Everyone wanted a piece. You whispered to me that it's sweet, cause it's me you love.
So in 2011, I think it was in May 2011, we had the inaugural New Band of the Day night in a pub next to the Guardian building, actually. And bizarrely, because it was a pub with a capacity of about 200 or 300 people, we had chart stars, including Wretch 3-2 on the bill, alongside Rumour and Summer Camp. It was a great night, and I think everybody thought, well, this is a way forward. So in 2012, there will be a series of New Band of the Day nights, six, in fact, every other month, starting in January, and they will be featuring on those bills troubadours, singer-songwriters, grime artists, bands, covering the breadth of styles that feature in the New Band of the Day column. I'll be blue today, but I'll be back tomorrow. Happiness is all we could get. I'll be blue today. due to be playing the first new band of the day night, Worship, and some singer-songwriters, Josh Cumrah and Murray James among them. Three bands upstairs, three singer-songwriters downstairs, and not just troubadours, but it might be dubstep people, it might be acoustic renditions of grime artists. It's going to be a very varied lineup to reflect the very varied nature of the new band of the day column itself, which has been going for 5 years and is now moving into the live realm. It's all very exciting. Keep an eye on the music site Guardian Online for any information about the new band of the day nights. There will be lots more to learn and to discover as the year proceeds.
Hello, my name is Jason Phipps and I'm the presenter of Jazz by Association, a contemporary jazz programme on French Radio London. And my pick of 2012 is Take 5 Europe. It's actually a scheme run here in the UK originally that spread out to Europe, and it selects 10 artists from all around Europe and gives them a very unique experience. It allows them to collaborate, to learn about their art form and to build their careers in a very unique way. Since 2004, really the cream of the crop in young British jazz have come through this scheme. People like Adam Waldman from the Kairos Quartet, Matthew Bourne, Kit Downs, Soweto Kinch. It was so successful in the UK, they've decided to do a European version. So the scheme has 10 participating artists, and they're all very, very good. But I'm particularly interested in the two French musicians that will come to the UK and participate in this scheme. First up is Céline Bonacina, who's a Paris-based composer and bass saxophone player. Her ability is really expansive on this huge instrument that she's chosen. Her compositions are steeped in both a European and American jazz tradition. They're bluesy, gutsy, and she will be a fantastic performer to see here in the UK. And the second French musician, again from Paris, is Benjamin Flamand. He's part of an extremely hip outfit in Paris at the moment called Metallophone on the Coax Records label. And they're a kind of pumped up rock jazz fusion. But it owes as much to Benjamin Flamand's love of Steve Reich as it does to any of the great jazz performers, the jazz vibe performers such as Milt Jackson or Gary Burton. So he will be an absolute treat to see play as part of the Take 5 Europe scheme. So that's what I'm looking forward to in 2012.
Jennifer Allen, I'm one of the online editors for The Wire, and next year I'm looking forward to hearing the new EP from Empty Set, which is going to be called Medium and will be out in February. Empty Set are duo James Ginsberg and Paul Purgas. Paul Purgas is a curator based in London. James Ginsberg runs the Multiverse collection of labels in Bristol who release bass music. This EP was recorded in Woodchester Mansion, which is an unfinished mansion in Gloucestershire, which is reported to be haunted. It's going to be high frequencies, lots of intense sonics, it's going to be loud, and it's going to be bassy.
I'm Ben Beaumont Thomas, a freelance writer and curator of the Future Human Salon event series. And the thing that I'm most excited for in 2012 is an album by Dean Blunt and Inga Copeland called Black is Beautiful, released in April by Hyperdub Records. This is a duo who are usually known by the name Hype Williams and have evolved for me into the most exciting force in UK music at the moment. They started out a couple of years ago making little sketches of garage punk songs called things like Weed-Induced Paranoia, and they seem just like another scuzzy, hipster, no-wave kind of thing. Then they made an untitled record which took a left turn into the kind of thing that they make now, this bass-heavy, psychedelic, shamanic dub music with tons of echo and very lo-fi production. And since then, they've brought out two further albums, including the very acclaimed One Nation this year, plus a bunch of singles, both together and solo, EPs, and even a VHS tape. And all of these records are full of this sort of cultural flotsam and jetsam. There's kind of Wiley Lyric as a title here, a Cassie sample there, Sade covers, poetry recitals. They all kind of get thrown in the mix and then lurch about. When I saw them in Poland a couple of months ago, it was easily one of the best gigs I saw all year. On the stage, which was choked with smoke and with his strobe constantly flashing, a blonde teenage boy ran on a treadmill front and centre stage, and a man in a rather creepy prosthetic mask wearing John Lennon glasses and an Arsenal away shirt kind of sat nodding on the speaker, taking everything in. And after waves and waves of this pulverising bass and very sort of disorientating sound, they finished on 5 minutes of someone's vocals chopped up and looped into this hacking cough sound just over and over again. Really intense and powerful stuff. It has kind of an air of an art prank on the one hand, but also almost like a black mass on the other. And that ambiguity for me makes them much more exciting than so many hipster bands with their very obvious reference points and easy signifiers. And if this new record does turn out to be rubbish, it's okay, because there'll probably be a couple more along by the end of the year.
Hi, I'm Kitty Empire. I'm the Observer's pop critic. My highlights for 2012 are the Leonard Cohen album. It should be coming out in January. It's his first album in 9 years. He's 77 years old. It's called Old Ideas, appropriately enough. I'm an absolutely huge Leonard Cohen fan, and anything he does pretty much fascinates me. But I think anyone who's in their 77th year, who's been through everything that Leonard Cohen has been through recently, having any of that come out in song should be absolutely fascinating. The new artist I'm looking forward to most is called King Cruel. His album is not yet scheduled. I think there's probably a couple of singles due out. But he's 19 years old and has a world weariness to his music that is well beyond his years.
I'd never be shut down, but girl, I'm black and blue. So beaten down for you. Well, I'm beaten down and blue.
Well, One of the other things I'm looking forward to in 2012 is Morrissey's autobiography. It's not scheduled for release until, well, release I say, it's not scheduled for publication until December of 2012 as I speak, but it will be absolutely fascinating reading how much in depth he goes into the Smiths and how much he will talk about his post-Smiths career remains to be seen. But as one of the most gifted literary talents that Britain has produced in living memory, it's bound to be a corker.
That's it. Our programmes for 2011 are over. We'll be back in a couple of weeks as we have a week off now, but thanks for listening this year. Don't forget, if you missed any of the programmes in 2011, they're all available on our site at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. I'm Alexis Petridis. The programme was produced, as ever, by Scott Cooley. Happy New Year.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.